twist it around your head like a helicopter. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Joining us right now on the BetQL guest line is our friend Miss Nikki Jabala from the Washington Post. Nikki, what's going on? We haven't seen you in like 40 minutes.
It's been less than that, JP. It was about 15 minutes.
Yeah, no, a lot's happened in my life since.
The news of the day is Jaden Daniels is QB1. They could say it's unofficial. We've all been kind of waiting for it for some time. Any level of surprise it happened now? Kind of match your expectations? What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I mean, technically all they announced was he's QB1 on the depth chart for now, and it's not official, so
right.
Technically things could change. But yeah, I mean, the day they selected him, he was QB1. He's always been QB1. I mean, he's performed up to the level of QB1, too, so it's not even like any debate whatsoever. He's far and away the better quarterback out there. Draft status, contract aside, he's just the better quarterback out there. So, yeah, it's like the non-news news of the day.
Totally. Yep. If it was a competition, which it really wasn't, he won it.
Yes. Handily.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So what are kind of your expectations going forward to New York, Jersey, whatever you want to call it?
Meadowlands, Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see how much they play him. Like, will they give him a full quarter, a half even? I mean, I don't really know what to expect. So I shouldn't say I'd be surprised if they go that long. And I don't really know this coaching staff and kind of the way they view preseason. I know a lot of teams are, you know, they don't want to play any other starters anymore. But given, you know, Jaden's a rookie, it's a new system, new team, you know, they want to get him out there. So that'll be the one thing I'm looking for. How long will he go? How many series will he get? What kind of shape will his line be in? That's a big concern.
Line they going to put out there?
Yeah,
right. I mean,
that's the question.
Will they have warm bodies to put out there at tackle by Saturday? We'll see.
Where are we with that? Give us up to speed on the O-line.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty depleted. I mean, Andrew Wiley's still not practicing dealing with what he said is tightness. Brandon Coleman was watching most of practice today.
No helmet.
Sam Cosmi has been out the last two practices because of an illness. Alex Akinbolu, he went down with an injury on Sunday or Monday. What day is today? Sunday.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And we haven't really gotten much of an update there. I think there's some hope that it's not as serious as it looked at the time, but, you know, he wasn't out there today unless I totally missed him.
I didn't see him. 6'2"?
Yeah.
6'2".
I would imagine they're going to have to bring in somebody just to have enough people. I mean, they were still giving Mason Brooks reps at tackle, which is terrifying. So poor Mason. Sorry, he's catching strays here. They gotta get people to get him through camp, really.
Agreed. Especially going up to a place like the Jets where they've got some talent. They've got some really good interior defensive linemen for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What are you most looking forward to with these Jets practices? Where do you think Washington will get and needs the biggest test?
I mean, I think most eyes will be on Jaden, right? So I'm curious to see, you know, how he handles that secondary. They got a good secondary.
Maybe the best corner in football.
Yeah. So how will he fare going against, you know, a secondary of that caliber? Will he still make good decisions? Will he still look sharp? I mean, you expect some bumps in the road along the way, and you know, you just want to get a better gauge of where they are as a team. I feel like it can be so misleading when you watch them go against each other so often in practice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, you know, it's every year kind of feels the same where, oh, the defense looks really good or the offense will have its days here and there. But it's not really an accurate measure of where they're at as a team. So all those years where the Commanders didn't have joint practices, I feel like we went into the season probably more optimistic than, you know, we should have been.
I think.
I thought,
go ahead, Nick.
I was just going to say the Ravens, the joint practices with the Ravens, you know, kind of exposed a lot of where they were, and it held throughout the season. So it was, you know, sort of eye-opening. You hope they're farther along this year, but you never know.
I think when you look at it, sometimes the offense has their days when they adjust something and change something that the defense didn't know.
Right.
And then after two days, the defense goes right back to kicking ass because they know what they're doing. And it happens like that throughout training camp. On Thursday, the thing that I'm looking forward to is them going against a team where they don't know what's happening as a defense here.
Yeah.
Because everybody's saying they're looking for the offense. No, I want to see if our defense can fare well against a team with a quarterback like that. You know what I mean? And then also having some explosive players on their team too, not just what our offense can do.
And I mean, Quinn made the interesting point too. I mean, when you have two teams going against each other in a joint practice, the coaches from both sides can kind of script it together. So they can both, you know, create mismatches or create things just to see how their guys work against other guys. So it gives them a better gauge of what they're working with personnel-wise.
Yeah, I agree with that. What do you think? I mean, we're not going to see any of Aaron Rodgers in the game. What do you think we see from A-Rod in the practices? Like, is any part of you fascinated to watch that dude? I've covered him before, but never coming off an Achilles and running for vice president. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's been doing pretty much everything. So, yeah, I'm definitely curious to see where he's at and how he looks. It would have been cool to see him in the game, but, yeah, there's no way he'd ever play in a preseason game. I mean, he doesn't need to, obviously, but yeah, I mean, I would imagine we see most everything from him in practice, I think. I mean, the other thing to remember with the joint practices is how much do they show the other team? I mean, they're not going to roll out everything, obviously. They don't want, you know, so it's usually the most vanilla packages they put out there. So,
base.
You know, how much will he show? How much will he actually see of him? I don't know, but, you know, just seeing how much he can do physically, yeah, I'm definitely interested in that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. We did get a little Matt Maiocco from Bay Area reported that the Niners look to maybe have a deal going with Cleveland or New England on this Brandon Ayuk stuff and that Washington's out of it. I think you and I have kind of been saying the same thing, that this hasn't really been something that was happening for quite some time. What do you make of the news and kind of what do you think of Washington's decision to, if they ever were a real contender, to back out of the Ayuk situation?
Yeah, I mean, the way that was framed, I'm a little curious, but when they say removed from the talk, does that mean they said, no, we're not interested? And, I mean, because I think Ayuk has made it pretty clear in interviews that he would like to go to the Commanders or at least have them among his top landing spots if he does move on from the 49ers. So does that mean they weren't interested, which is kind of the vibe I've gotten from the team that, you know, we kicked the tires during the draft just to kind of see what the market was, but it just never got to anything serious. Or is there talk that they really got into discussions and price got too high? I'm inclined to think it's the former, that, you know, there wasn't a ton of interest. I mean, obviously he's a great receiver. Adam Peters has a history with him. I mean, Jaden Daniels, obviously. But this is a guy that's looking for, and the market calls for, $30 million a year for a receiver. So for a team that's still in that rebuilding mode, does it make sense to give up picks and then, give them a $30 million a year contract? I'm not seeing it. And I always felt like if they did do a trade for him, it's like a player-for-player swap. And, like, are you going to give up Terry for Brandon Ayuk?
Right.
I'm not seeing that either.
But when you look at reportedly what might be coming back,
yeah,
if Cleveland's willing to give up Amari Cooper, there's no way San Fran's taking anything less than Terry.
Right. No, exactly. I mean, they got two first-round receivers on their roster, you know. Jerry Jeudy
San Fran has
exactly
all the power right here.
Up.
Ayuk has nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's been the case for the whole time, you know.
Totally. It's, I don't know, man. I still think eventually there's a All right, I'm just going to stay here. Let's talk about the contract after.
I thought that would have happened by now.
Me too. I'm a little surprised it's gotten to this point. I thought they would have reached a deal. Because, I mean, to me, that just makes the most sense of any of the options. But, you know, I don't know. I'm also not fully entrenched on kind of their thinking. So, I don't know.
Part of me thinks that the Niners have been talking for so long. And then they're just like, all right, dude. We could make a deal. You talk to them about the contract and see if their offer is significantly better than ours. And if so, I just think they're kind of letting the market show the reality of the situation.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to watch unfold but more of a, like, I don't think there's really much of a market here. Maybe that'll be proven wrong and Cleveland pays up. I mean,
they're both kind of wild card teams. I mean, Cleveland is Cleveland. I mean, they gave Deshaun the money they gave Deshaun.
Right.
I mean, that would be really interesting, that team, because you got a first-round tight end. You'll have at least two first-round receivers if you acquire Ayuk.
Running back.
You'll probably have Judy still there. And Deshaun, I'm like, that's a heck of a group. Like, that's a lot of ego to manage.
Well, you wonder.
That's a lot.
I mean, obviously, Deshaun has a relationship with ownership there, right? Like,
yeah.
Very clearly. What if Deshaun is like, hey, Jimmy, go get Ayuk, and then that deal gets done, and it's just like one more deal that you got to wonder how much the staff wanted done, and
right.
Happens anyway. Similar to what we're probably going to go see in New York over the next couple of days with Rodgers.
Right. Right. No, totally. And Jimmy Haslam is the type of owner to probably listen and do it.
Right.
You know, his quarterback wants, if that's the case, you know. And the Patriots haven't really made any splash move. You know, they've kept their own.
They just keep signing their own people.
Yeah.
So the first depth chart gets released today. You can't read too much into it. But what, if any, would you say are kind of winners and losers coming off that first depth chart as far as, like, what you thought their roster spot was, what mm-hmm. you think it might be going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say at the start of, like, the off-season program, I mean, to me, Brandon Coleman was sort of a mystery. I wasn't really sure of what to expect from him because, like, most of the research I had done had been on the first-round tackles. So, admittedly, I didn't know a whole lot about him. I didn't know what to expect from him. And just on paper, you think, you know, maybe the veteran guy there is better suited to start, at least initially. So he's been a really pleasant surprise. Like, he does look good out there. I mean, today he wasn't out there dealing with something. Hope it's not too serious. I mean, Quinn did say he would start on Saturday. So, but he, I mean, they have moved him to right. He's played at left, and he's held his own. So I think, you know, seeing what he's shown so far, that's a huge win for them. If he can continue to progress and really show that he's a quality tackle, I mean, that's huge. Losers, I mean, that, yeah, I don't know. None of them are surprises. I mean, I don't know that Amino Forbes will stay as a backup on the final, you know, depth chart when they finalize the initial roster. Because he's still been going out there with ones when he plays.
Sometimes,
well, yeah, he's been with the ones all the time.
Yeah. So,
and the other thing with Forbes, I'm curious if you agree with me on this. Maybe you don't make him a starter, and that's okay, because you only want him out there in clear passing situations where you can use him to the best of his ability. And so if that means he's out there a little less, but maybe they get more out of him in fewer snaps, that is totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But,
and
what
I
if
still
is
think
it,
the
is
secondary
this...
Yeah, I still think the secondary is sort of fluid. The notion of a true starter, similar to running back, is sort of
I totally agree
misleading, you know, just because of the packages. It's all dependent on that.
Well, dude,
what if they just think, listen, he's going to be our starter. We've been working him with the starters all the time. We're going to start somebody else because they're going to be the ones playing in the game Saturday.
Right.
It'd be as simple as that.
I think Davis, tell me if you agree with this, Nick, Davis, Samardzija, BSJ, Emmanuel Forbes have clearly separated themselves as their top four corners. And I think if I had to guess, maybe the leading snap guys might be Davis and Samardzija, because I think they could play in lots of different packages. And I think they both have BSJ. Forbes has to prove to them that he is a willing participant in run defense before he's out on the field more. But I don't if they know he's not, but they know he can help them in dime when he can identify, use his speed and his length, fine.
Diggs don't tackle. Diggs right. chase receivers.
Right.
So
right.
Forbes may not have to do that because they won't put him in that position. I think we right. read. I think they way that they did this, they put a lot of stuff out there to make us have to read into things. It's going to be a little simpler than what we think.
Yeah. No, I agree totally. And that's why, like, I mean, depth charts anymore have just become, you know, it's good fodder, but it's not really. I mean, they have 12 offensive starters and 12 defensive starters on this depth chart. I mean, like, that alone just shows you how ridiculous some of it is.
And DQ said it. He's like, DQ first off joked that Sean made the depth chart, who's the VP of football communications.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then he said, he was like, yeah, you know, if I was making it, I'd have 15 starters. So I think defensively, there are probably seven guys in the defensive backfield that will play north of 60% of snaps.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think, you know, there's truth to what he's saying, too, is there's still plenty. I mean, camp technically ends after the first preseason game, right? But, I mean, there are still positions up for grabs. They haven't finalized, or they're not set on who they like there. So there is sort of a tie between some of the guys at these positions. So, I mean, the unofficial depth chart is a requirement of the league. Every team has to pull one out before the preseason yeah. game. But, you know, it's not, you know.
Dude, so.
Yeah. It requires context always, you know, to have totally. Co-starting running backs. I mean, a starting running back is sort of, has always been misleading in my mind because it always depends on the opening script and, you know.
Right. Yeah, we don't run no two-back offense no more.
Yeah.
Although, B, I saw some two-back.
Yeah, they may be. But we don't necessarily. We don't have a fullback.
Right.
They might. I don't know what we're allowed to say on that, but the goal line stuff today was quite interesting, man.
Yeah, two-back set. Not a fullback.
Nikki, we haven't asked you arguably the most important news of the day. This is
Barney.
From.
I hope this is where it's going. Oh.
We could go to Barney, but I know Barney's important to you. The Commanders have a new dog. A new dog in training. A new service dog, Barney. What's the scouting report like?
Oh my God, super cute. I mean, he's a stud. Like he's the real deal.
He's a first round doggo.
First round dog.
All right. Now I agree with you there. This is something that's a little more divisive. We live in divisive times. A number of things have been announced today. Jaden Daniels, QB1, not the only major announcement that happened today as far as contenders for this fall. But this, to me, I can't avoid, no matter how much we try to be a diversion for people. International recording artist Pitbull is purchasing the naming rights to Florida International's football stadium.
Pitbull
it's
Stadium,
incredible.
Baby.
It's pretty incredible. It's awesome. Incredible. I don't know how the Commanders lost out on the bidding, frankly.
I don't think his whole deal is enough for 1 year here.
He's paying him $1.2 million a year.
Yeah, for 5 years.
It's
if the
brilliant.
Commanders did play at Pitbull Stadium, write him into the playoffs.
I mean, can Wale get a group together? Wale Stadium? That'd be dope. Like,
I love Wale, but Pitbull, I mean, he's Mr. Worldwide, so I don't know, Mr. Worldwide,
but Wale is... DC.
Wale, if you listen, text JP and let him know what the hell. Tell him you worldwide too.
Wale,
he does international tours, dude.
I have $100 towards Wale Field at Commander.
That
State.
Won't even help.
That would be incredible.
How much you putting
up? Absolutely incredible.
Huh? I got about 1.5.
You putting 1.5 what?
Mil.
Towards Wale Stadium at Commander's Field.
Yeah, as long as I'm getting my money back.
Combined, we have $1.5 and $100. Nikki, would you like to throw anything in on this?
I don't know what the Commanders are waiting for. I mean, these deals are just out there to be taken. Like,
can't be waiting.
Let's go. Yeah.
Hesitation will kill you. Thank you, Nikki. Always appreciate it.
All right, man.
I'm sorry. Thanks, guys.
That's our friend Nikki Javala, not to be confused with Mr. Worldwide Pitbull, who now has his own stadium. Nobody go anywhere. When we come back, we do have to make some bets and maybe catch up on the baseball team.
Hey, it's Ryan Mitchell here. The best place to bet the games this summer is FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Then you can bet on all your favorite international teams in all your favorite sports, from basketball to badminton and soccer to swimming. FanDuel has it all. So don't miss your chance to score $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up and start betting the games today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. FanDuel is supposed to be the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Shout out to Greg Height. Cooking lunch up. That was banging.
Yes,
I never
it
had
was.
A deep-fried lobster tail.
I did.
We're trying to make an effort to lock in one segment about the Nats every day. All of our baseball coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Check out the savings calculator at T-Mobile.com/switch. We talked a lot about what is real competition, what is fake competition, and, you know, we've heard a lot with the Washington Nationals about how impressive and how much of a professional that Patrick Corbin has been for the organization.
Okay.
And I appreciate that, and I applaud that, right? Every fifth day he takes the mound, and, you know, he's been getting shelled, and it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Lanville dropped this text into the thread last night. This is from Mark Zuckerman. We both known Mark a long time. Mark is a pros pro reporter. I believe he's the longest tenured dude covering the Nats. He works for Matson, right? He works for the official television partner of the baseball team.
Yeah.
Zuck doesn't take cheap shots.
Yeah.
He sent this tweet last night. First pitch, 6:45. First pitch, home run off Patrick Corbin. 6:45:30.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Yeah. And then I saw this one later. This is from Andrew Golden that I dropped into the thread. Andrew Golden covers the Nats for the Washington Post. Andrew said, Patrick Corbin just threw one of his slow sliders, 67.7 miles per hour, and Matt Chapman just crushed a three-run homer to give the Giants a 4-0 lead.
It gets to a point where you can't tell me what I'm not seeing. And I understand that all the people that are involved with Patrick Corbin, they know more baseball than I do. But if every game you get shelled, you may be past your prime now, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. And he, by all accounts, is a great dude. And I mean, he's
it happens,
made,
man.
Made
I mean,
a ton of money.
Everybody comes to the end. Eventually. I don't care. I don't know a guy that is as good as he was in the last game of his career than he was early on.
He just turned 35 in July. I don't know that they have someone they can turn to. I know there was hope of Josiah Gray coming up, but then I think he got hurt again.
He's going to be around
I don't know
something in two, 3 years.
Trevor Williams is coming back, any of that, man. But at some point, you might not really be able to put this dude out there anymore, right?
I mean, if you're not trying to win right now, you're trying to get through the season, you're paying him, you may as well put him out there. But ultimately, is he in your future plans? I can answer hell to the no.
Definitely not. I mean, his contract expires this year.
Yeah.
But when Ron benched Haskins, I'm going back to 2020, he said he had a responsibility to the other 52 guys in the locker room, right, to give them a chance to win.
We've seen him go against that already. So
I'm not worried about Ron. Yeah. I'm just using that as an example. Like, you got to wonder if putting Corbin out there, you're giving your guys a chance to win. That said, though, he won his last start before. Or no, he's lost three in a row, but he did win a start last month.
And how many he lost prior to that start he won?
I mean, he's 2-12 on the season.
Okay. And how many other games he started where they had to get him out
his,
there too early?
His ERA is 5.88.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Maybe they got no other options.
The
but
year that they won the World Series,
he was fantastic.
He did some great stuff. He's beyond that right now, point blank.
Lanville, there is something, though, that you've figured out whenever you see Corbin out there. Well, what is your Patrick Corbin life hack?
Bet on the other team?
Yeah, exactly. bet on the other team. And last night you took the over, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a mistake. I should have just bet on the Giants because that was a winning bet. But the over was a loser.
They've got three more against the Giants tonight, tomorrow, and then Thursday is a 4 o'clock tilt. I forgot to text him. I'm going to make a note to text Doug right now. Let's get Doug on the phone.
Doug Camera?
Yeah, dude, because this weather looks like it's coming. And my buddy is down in Florida, and this weather just dumped on him. I don't know enough. I am not an expert. I'm looking. I just pulled up NOAA.gov. It looks like rain the rest of the week, at least here in Ashburn. I think at least one, if not two, of these baseball games. I don't know how they can move them around because it's the Giants and you got to get them in. But
yeah, it's gonna like we.
If you want to see the Giants play, you better try to go tonight.
We need some rain, and this ground can suck up some of it. But I can tell you in Florida, what your buddy sent you, they've had some rain prior to this.
Yeah,
that ground was saturated, so you can see flooding happening.
True. It's funny as we continue here and the Nats kind of keep going the other direction. They're now back to 11 games under 500. Once we see the Commanders hitting a team with a different jersey on Thursday and then the preseason game Saturday, like it's going to be – it gets harder and harder for your brain to pay attention to baseball.
True.
Like the next real baseball moment I'm going to care about – not care is unfair, but like pay a lot of attention to, kind of appointment watch is when they call up Cruz.
Yeah.
That
I look to see what – James Wood is doing and
sure.
Other people. Because I ran into, shortstop.
C.J. Abrams?
C.J. Abrams. I ran into his brother Thursday night. Met his brother over at
MGM.
MGM. I was spending the night over there before I could go on that ride.
Oh, right.
So, you know, you look to see what certain people are doing. But it's not like it's appointment watching for the whole stuff with me at this point. I'm being honest with you. Now, playoffs come around. I'll try to watch a lot of playoffs, no matter who playing. Because baseball seems to be a lot faster during the playoffs.
Dude.
Even though they sped it up, still slow to me.
Baseball to me is still an elite second screen sport. You have something that you want to watch on, and then baseball kind of in the background, and you can check in and out when you need to. What are you laughing about?
James Woods is a dude's name, right?
Yeah.
Commander Tequila said, I like Woody James.
Shout out to Commander Tequila. He's already
here. Commander Tequila, you already hit that tequila, dog.
Tequila is flowing. I don't know.
Wow.
The Corbin thing. You know who did not reply to me? Landfill, you'll appreciate this. Who is smart enough among all the Rhodes Scholars at the radio station? Who is smart enough to spend, I believe, four figures on Patrick Corbin signed
the
game worn jersey?
Yeah,
the stallion that wasn't used for a year and a half.
That is Dum Dum the Stallion.
Last night I texted him. How much do you think that jersey is worth now? And wouldn't you be shocked? He just never replied to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he knows. I think when he bought it, he knew he was stupid.
It's worth at least $9.
You think?
Yeah. Sure.
Nah, it's not worth a dollar any. It can't be.
Nah, I bet it's worth $9. I bet it's
probably
worth
$8.50.
$45.
$8.50.
Because it's a game-worn jersey to someone that is still cool. But it gets less and
game
less.
Game worn in what game?
I don't know that. And I do you know Landfill? Is he in there?
It better be a game where they won. It was like something that was very, very good.
I don't know where he is. No one knows where he is.
I mean, he's like Kyle Shanahan. We don't even know if he'll be on this planet next week. But yeah, he does have a framed Patrick Corbin jersey, which is just too perfect as a lead baseball analyst all around town, that he has a framed Patrick Corbin jersey.
I mean, he's so smart, he's stupid.
Patrick Corbin's ERA this season, and I know that there are other stats now and people don't pay attention to ERA. 5.88.
Pay attention to ERA.
I still pay attention to ERA. His, in 6 years with the Nationals, his ERA is a 5.13.
And what was it the first year when he got here and they went to the thing?
Yo, I mean, this is just so crazy. They went to the World Series first year he got here. He had a 3.25 ERA.
He's been awful since
then. He went 14-7 that year. That's his only winning season and by a wide margin, too.
But he's going to be loved for that season, though, brother.
Sure. honestly, the sooner he gets out of town, the sooner the clock starts on everybody liking him. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as he's gone and you get a little bit of distance from what happened at post.
Should have gave him another 2 years, man. You know, nah. I think he had it in him again.
Nah.
Somebody going to say it.
No.
JP, fans are fanatical. They say some of the weirdest things in the world. Believe me.
All right. So, dude, in 5 games, it looks like.
Like, I was a favorite player of a guy today, and my name was Bobby Mitchell. I'm his favorite player, but he can't give him the right name.
This is kind of, so we all remember the World Series, obviously. Mm-hmm. In the DS, in the Divisional Series against the Dodgers, Corbin was 0-2 and had a 7.88 ERA. Mm. Now, maybe one of those was a relief appearance because he only started one of them, and a relief appearance can really mess up. If I remember right, I'm pretty sure he got hit hard coming in relief. The Cardinals series, the NLCS, he had one start, went 1-0, pitched 5 innings. And then, obviously, in the World Series, was pretty damn impressive. Pitched 10 innings, had 10 strikeouts. He was a strikeout machine in that World Series year for Washington. Across the 3 series, he had 36 Ks.
Wow.
So,
I mean,
let's give him some credit for that.
Like I said earlier, he had his time.
Jeff's mad, wants us to go to break. We'll make some bets when we come back. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, the fan. Wrapping things up from a hot, hot tent in Ashburn, Virginia. Shout out to Melba. She turned 100 years old today. She's been coming to training camp for quite some
time. Long time, brother.
Long time Commanders fan. Shout out to Melba. Happy birthday, Melba.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Gibbs was here. Did you ever get to talk to him?
Nah, I didn't.
That's funny.
We came in here.
Did you talk to Darryl Green at all?
Mm. They went inside when we were going down to the field.
Right.
And then I guess when we came back up here to do the show, they were coming back outside. So, yeah.
It's cool that those guys address the team, though. There's not many better people to address this organization than Coach Joe and Darryl Green. I'll be excited for Darryl Green's jersey to get retired in October. Mm. I'm also excited to
talk about a long time coming.
Yeah, for sure. Also excited to see who won their bets last night. Let's go, boys.
Heard it here first. Heard it here first. Around, gather around.
Heard it here first. Jeffrey.
What's up, fellas? I got some good news and I got some bad news.
Okay.
I'm going to get you with the bad news first. The bad news is that Landfill, JP, or B. Mitch did not hit their bets.
I don't know if that's accurate.
That's bad news.
It's very accurate.
I think that's super
and
bad news.
The good news is Jeff Walker hit his parlay last night.
Hey, Landfill, I expect you to be better at your job, Landfill. When he starts getting a little hype, cut him off.
Let's talk about it. JP, you thought it was cool to take the Canadians against the Americans in 3x3? It didn't happen. The Americans won. And B, I told you, stop betting against me when it comes to baseball. You will always lose.
Okay,
Let's
put some money on it whenever we bet tonight.
I bet. I got LeBron going over 15 points tonight.
Oh,
today,
that's not a good
at 3 o'clock.
To go against you. Give me something else.
Nah, you.
I
want to
bet.
Hold on.
You told me don't bet you in baseball.
He has to give you something else. That's
no.
What
he said don't bet against me in baseball. Is what he said.
I did say that.
And that's what I'm talking about.
But for real,
whatever you bet in baseball, I'm going opposite of it.
Don't bet against me at all because
I'm
every
going
time
opposite
you
against
bet
you
against
baseball
me,
right now.
You lose.
All right, let's let everybody get a bet in. You're betting on LeBron to score more than 15 this afternoon.
And I'm going to parlay that with the Yankees -1.5.
Against who?
The Angels.
Okay, I'll take the +1.5.
You're going to lose, bruh.
Hey, bruh.
Landfill, what do you want, man?
I'm taking Brazil +26.5. By the way, Jeff Walker put sunglasses on for this segment specifically.
That I believe.
Because Jeff's an idiot.
What do you want, Jeff? What do you want, B?
I just took my bet.
All right. I'm going to take Clayton Kershaw late night. Dodgers, this seems wild to me. I get the Dodgers plus 1.5 on the run line, still under 200. It's minus 178. So that's my pick.
So in other words, you just took the same pick?
What'd you take?
Who are the Yankees playing?
The Dodgers are playing the Phillies.
Okay, I was just checking.
The Yankees were playing the Angels.
Okay, good. I know somebody in California. You know, sometimes I can't put this bet and stuff.
All right. Busy, busy day, man. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program. We appreciate y'all. Thank you to everybody that called in. We got some good calls. We got one asinine call that was completely off topic, but by and large, we got mostly good calls. Thank you to Barstool Nate for joining us. Thank you to Nikki Javala for joining us. Thank you to Chris Russell for being the horniest man on the internet. And thank you to Toby Altizer for choosing Achy Breaky Heart as his walk-up song. Appreciate the boys in the aquarium.
And the guy said he's going to beat you up for saying that it sucks.
Appreciate the boys in the aquarium, Jeff and Landini. Me and B, I think, back in studio tomorrow, assuming the creek don't rise. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Jaden Daniels, QB1, unofficially. You made it this far. I owe you a beer. B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Wrapping things up from a hot, hot tent in Ashburn, Virginia. Shout out to Melba. She turned 100 years old today. She's been coming to training camp for quite some
time. Long time, brother.
Long time Commanders fan. Shout out to Melba. Happy birthday, Melba.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Gibbs was here. Did you ever get to talk to him?
Nah, I didn't.
That's funny.
We came in here.
Did you talk to Daryl Green at all?
Mm. They went inside when we were going down to the field.
Right.
And then I guess when we came back up here to do the show, they were coming back outside. So, yeah.
It's cool that those guys address the team, though. There's not many better people to address this organization than Coach Joe and Daryl Green. I'll be excited for Daryl Green's jersey to get retired in October. Mm. I'm also excited to
talk about a long time coming.
Yeah, for sure. Also excited to see who won their bets last night. Let's go, boys.
Heard it here first. Heard it here first. Gather around.
Heard it here first. Jeffrey.
What's up, fellas? I got some good news and I got some bad news.
Okay.
I'm going to get you with the bad news first. The bad news is that Landfill, JP, or B. Mitch did not hit their bets.
I don't know if that's accurate.
That's bad news.
It's very accurate.
I think that's super
and
bad news.
The good news is Jeff Walker hit his parlay last night.
Hey, Landfill, JP, I expect you to be better at your job, Landfill. When he starts getting a little hype, cut him off.
Let's talk about it. JP, you thought it was cool to take the Canadians against the Americans in 3x3. It didn't happen. The Americans won. And B, I told you, stop betting against me when it comes to baseball. You will always lose.
Okay,
We ain't talking about last week.
Let's put some money on it whenever we bet tonight.
I bet. I got LeBron going over 15 points tonight.
Oh,
today,
that's not a good
at 3
one
o'clock.
To go against you. Give me something else.
Nah, you.
I
want to
bet. You told me don't bet you in baseball.
He has to give you something else. That's
no.
He said
don't bet against me in baseball. Is what he said.
I did say that.
And that's what I'm talking about.
But for real,
whatever you bet in baseball, I'm going opposite of it.
Don't bet against me at all because
I'm
every
going
time
opposite
you bet against me,
right now.
You lose.
All right, let's let everybody get a bet in. You're betting on LeBron to score more than 15 this afternoon.
And I'm going to parlay that with the Yankees minus 1.5.
Against who?
The Angels.
Okay, I'll take the plus 1.5.
You're going to lose, bruh.
Hey, bruh.
Landfill, what do you want, man?
I'm taking Brazil plus 26.5. By the way, Jeff Walker put sunglasses on for this segment specifically.
That I believe.
Because Jeff's an idiot.
What do you want, Jeff? What do you want, B?
I just took my bet.
All right. I'm going to take Clayton Kershaw late night. Dodgers, this seems wild to me. I get the Dodgers plus 1.5 on the run line, still under 200. It's minus 178. So that's my pick.
So in other words, you just took the same pick.
What'd you take?
Who are the Yankees playing?
The Dodgers are playing the Phillies.
Okay, I was just checking.
The Yankees were playing the Angels.
Okay, good. I know somebody in California. You know somebody I can't put this bet and stuff.
All right. Busy, busy day, man. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program. We appreciate y'all. Thank you to everybody that called in. We got some good calls. We got one asinine call that was completely off topic, but by and large, we got mostly good calls. Thank you to Barstool Nate for joining us. Thank you to Nikki Javala for joining us. Thank you to Chris Russell for being the horniest man on the internet. And thank you to Toby Altizer for choosing Achy Breaky Heart as his walk-up song. Appreciate the boys in the aquarium.
And the guys say he's going to beat you up for saying that it sucks.
Appreciate the boys in the aquarium, Jeff and Landini. Me and B, I think, back in studio tomorrow, assuming
yeah, we think.
The creek don't rise. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Jaden Daniels, QB1, unofficially. You made it this far, I owe you a beer.